ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
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 Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 7, Text Number 10. Sukhavacha Atmanascha Mundayo Vigyantabhi Urukrame Urubhantyahai Dukhim Bhaktim Itham Takudohari Atmanascha Mundayo
Liberated from nescience,
One has no connection with scriptural injunction, i.e., one who is freed from obligation of the rules and regulations mentioned in the revealed scriptures, like ethics, Vedas, philosophy, psychology, and metaphysics. In other words, the fools, illiterate urchins, etc., who have no connection with regulative principles, a capitalist, and also one who is penniless. According to the Shabda Kosha dictionary, the affix ni is used in the sense of certainty, counting, building, and forbiddance, and the word grantha is used in the sense of wealth, thesis, vocabulary, etc. The word Rukrama means the one whose activities are glorious. Krama means step. This word Rukrama specifically indicates the Lord's incarnation as Vamana, who covered the whole universe by immeasurable steps. Lord Vishnu is powerful, and his activities are so glorious that he has created the spiritual world by his internal potency, and the material world by his external potency. By his all-pervading features, he is everywhere present as the Supreme Truth, and in his personal feature, he is always present in his transcendental abode of Goloka Vrindavan, where he displays his transcendental pastimes in all variegatedness. His activities cannot be compared to anyone else's, and therefore the word Urukrama is just applicable to him only. According to statute verbal arrangement, Kuruvansi refers to doing things for someone else. Therefore it means that the Atmaramas render devotional service unto the Lord, not for personal interest, but for the pleasure of the Lord Urukrama. So I'll stop there. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurmilitanyena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitanyena Bhikkhave Swayam Bhagavanyanti Vajusvamdaskar Mukham Karoti Vajusvam Pantamangayasvati Yanti Pantamaham Pandey Shri Gurum Dhinatarinam Pancha Kalpa Durvishya Kripasim Nibayacha Patitanam Pavnebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Vidata Shiva Sadi Gaur Bhakti Vinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So this is the Atmarama verse. It is very difficult to figure out how to explain the Atmarama verse. The only person who really did justice to this verse was Lord Chaitanya himself. So let's try and understand, based on Srila Prabhupada's teachings and a few classes Prabhupada gave on this verse, I shall attempt to say something about this Atmarama verse. So this comes in a chapter entitled The Son of Drona Punished. So previously we've been hearing about basically Shonaka Rishi conversing with Srila Sukadeva Goswami about the position of Sukadeva Goswami, how he was already situated on the path of self-realization, and pretty much he was himself Atmarama, he was self-satisfied. But therefore, how is it possible that although he is self-satisfied, he still wanted to hear the narrations of Srimad Bhagavatam? So basically, Prabhupada, when he gives a class on this verse, he's explaining how basically the main thing Prabhupada puts across is that the impersonalists most of the time think after this, attaining this platform of being Atmarama or coming to the platform of Brahma Bhuta, which Srila Prabhupada explains, that then that means there is no activity, and this is the impersonalists see this as the highest point, that is it. When you attain this point, you are free from all material anxiety, you are free from stress, and that is it. There's no activity. But Srila Prabhupada says, no, it just means you are free from material activity. But we understand the dynamics of the soul is always active. Therefore, the Atmarama is continuously active, especially in hearing the subject matters of the transcendental qualities of Krishna. So he gives the examples of the four sons of Lord Brahma, and the four Kumaras, and the example of Shukadeva Goswami. They were different types of transcendentalists. So we know we have three primary transcendental processes that have been mentioned. basic yoga, which helps one understand the Paramatma feature of the Lord, and eventually the process of devotional service, which gives us an understanding of the first two aspects and also of the original source of all these energies, the Bhagavan aspect. So within these three different processes, we get to be Atmaramas to a certain degree. So he gives the example of the four Kumaras and Sukadeva Goswami, how they were self-realized by understanding the Brahman aspect. Through their knowledge, they could understand the difference between matter and spirit, and they themselves understood that they were spirit. Aham Brahmasmi, Brahma Bhuta. They understood there was a difference between the body and the spirit. But still, once they heard the transcendental qualities of Krishna, their self-satisfaction increased even more. So in the beginning of the Bhagavatam, we hear this verse that has been chanted so expertly and so nicely, explaining just the position, the transcendental position of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, even for the liberated soul, even for the beginner in Krishna consciousness. So this verse explains how Srimad Bhagavatam is a Mahapurana, and that it actually is able to liberate one just from normal condition, from the three modes of material nature into Krishna's internal potency. So the verse, Canto 1, text 3. Nigama Bhagavata Rukaditam Phalam, Sukha Mukhada Amitadvara Sanitam, Pimala Bhagavata Nasam Alayam, Uhu Amuratika Bhubi Bhavaka. O expert and thoughtful man, when is Srimad Bhagavatam the mature fruit of the desire through the Vedic literatures? Emanating from the lips of Sri Sukadeva Goswami, therefore this fruit has become even more tasteful, although its nectarian juice was already relishful for all, including liberated souls. So there's different types of knowledge that we can hear, even knowledge about the Brahman, knowledge about Paramatma. But unless we get to the point of having transcendental knowledge about the activities of the Supreme Personality of God in His original feature, then we can't actually go beyond liberation, because bhakti is beyond liberation. So we're not only striving for liberation to get release from the material clashes, but we also want to engage our senses in Krishna's transcendental qualities. And this ranges from Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's form, Krishna's his name. As we understand the four Kumara, Sanat Kumar, smelling the fragrance of Tulsi offered to Krishna. For some transcendentalists, just having the darshan of the Lord attracted them to the feature, the personal feature of Krishna, and not just focusing on the impersonal feature of Krishna. So further on, if we understand the different types of transcendentalists, this Atmarama verse is giving us information about the different types of transcendentalists and how eventually just by approaching the person Krishna, one gets full satisfaction, one gets the complete satisfaction. So we know the verse that's been given in the Upanishads, Akama Sabu Kamava, Moksha Kama Dharide, Tivrena Bhakti Yogina Yadita Purushamparam, that by this intense process of devotional service, whether one had no material desire, whether one was full of material desires, or whether one desires liberation, still one worships the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and in that way transcends the modes of material nature and comes to his full capacity of Aham Brahmasmi, his full capacity of being part and parcel of Krishna. So the underlying, the motivating factor behind this Atmaram verse is that Krishna is actually behind everything. Krishna is behind the Brahmani fountains. And it says in the Sri Upanishad, the pure devotee prays that the Lord may remove his Brahmajyoti fountains so that he can see his transcendental form and be firmly established in that relationship with him. And the Bhagavad Gita, of course, there's different classes of personalities who experience happiness, who try to experience bliss in different ways. And the potency of approaching Krishna directly, although we might have material desires, although we might have contamination, etc., Just the potency of Krishna himself and the potency of his process, pure bhakti, allows us to gradually shy away or drop these material desires. Because in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is explaining that there's four different types of personalities that will actually approach him. Those who are after wealth, the distressed, one who is inquisitive, one who wants knowledge. So these four types of personalities Krishna accepts when they approach him. Although initially the approach is not of pure intention, the approach is for some benefit, getting some relief, getting some wealth, stimulating our mental and intellectual capacity. But eventually, because the process of pure devotional service is so complete, it is so potent, these desires naturally will wither away. And our original desire to love and serve Krishna will awaken in the heart. So by hearing in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, this Asaram verse is mentioned to show that, you know, Krishna is behind everything. So sometimes in the Western world we hear this, you hear it a lot in these churches, God is great, God is good, God is powerful. And Prabhupada would very firmly say, okay, but how great is God? How great? We can say he's great, but how great is he? So we have to understand what he does, what his energies are, how great is he? That means we have to hear about Krishna. We can't just say God is great, hallelujah. We have to hear about him. And Prabhupada says, you have to hear from Srimad Bhagavatam how great Krishna is. And he gives different examples. So we might think, oh, we're great. You know, there's, let's say there's a building, we've created this building. But no, actually we've just used our mind and our intelligence to take certain elements, put them together and manifest the building. This is our greatness. But if you look at Krishna, how he's so great, he's created with his energy so many different elements that allow for our existence, even in this material world, not to speak of it as spiritual energy. So Prabhupada was using the example of the flower. We have different types of flowers and they have different fragrances, different colors, different ways of blooming, different everything. This is how great Krishna is. Even with just that small example, we can understand in his creation how he has manifested himself in so many different ways. So this is, the Bhagavatam will give narrations and pastimes about pure devotees as well and how they practice devotional service. So Srila Prabhupada is giving a lecture on this verse, you know, gave the example of Dhruva Maharaj, Ambarish Maharaj, Narada Muni, so many different elevated souls, and Prabhupada is stressing, okay, these are not just wonderful folk stories or mythology or granny wisdom. These are actual facts that are coming from the Mahapurana, Srimad Bhagavatam. And the fact that the Bhagavatam is relished by already liberated souls should be enough to show us that actually Bhagavatam is on the highest path. It has nothing to do with mundane knowledge. Although, you know, sometimes we might read a chapter that's explaining dynasties. Or we're hearing about, you know, the same material elements, and we might be thinking, what does this have to do with, you know, establishing my relationship with Krishna? What has hearing about Mahatma and the Pradhan is going to do for my japa or for my relationship with devotional service? But actually understanding how everything is resting on Krishna, that is enough to push us in a consciousness of Krishna is the only, Krishna is the Purusha. Krishna is the Mahapurusha. We have Lord Brahma, of course, he's the secondary creator. But we also understand that Lord Brahma was also aided and guided by the Supreme Lord. But he is the first created being, but he performed his austerities and he got his revelation from the heart, from the Lord himself. It's not that Brahma is the ultimate creator. It is coming from Krishna. So this Asaram verse is also explained that, you know, everything, our endeavor, our mind, our body, so many different aspects of looking at this Asaram verse. And the conclusion is still that everything is coming from Krishna. So you understand how Krishna's energy works. then you're in direct union with Krishna. Then our consciousness shifts. We're not only thinking about me, I, our body designation will also shift by understanding Krishna's transcendental qualities. Understanding how Krishna maintains, annihilates, and pervades this entire creation gives us faith. It increases our faith. If we never heard about the wonderful activities of Krishna and his greatness, why would we continue to serve him? Because it would seem like he's just an ordinary entity. He's not, you know, he's not showing his yogeshwara potency, his yogic potency. So it might sound like, oh, he's just like the other mystics. He's not the Supreme Lord. But these details are given in nicely elaborated manners in past times as well, because in Kali Yuga, if we just hear straight out philosophy bang bang bang, our mind can't really comprehend because we're dull. Our minds are dull. Well, the Bhagavatam is explaining something. The Bhagavatam is explaining the different characteristics of Kali Yuga, as some pure devotees say, Kali Yuga creatures. We're all remnants of Kali Yuga, therefore our subtle body is in a certain molding. So our subtle body has shrunk so much that just by hearing from certain Puranas in a specific way will not really help us. It will be a disservice because that will be to our bewilderment. But Srila Vyasa could understand the situation of Kali Yuga refugees, so to say, or Kali Yuga dependents. Therefore, he wrote the different Puranas in a certain way. Therefore, he summarized the Brahma Sutras. He gave the Srimad Bhagavatam in its purest, condensed form so that we could actually understand the greatness of Krishna. And Krishna is always with his devotees. So it's very difficult to glorify a devotee of Krishna without glorifying Krishna. Because the devotee's life is always centered around Krishna. So simultaneously we hear about Krishna, we will hear about Krishna's pure devotee. So Srimad Bhagavatam is not speaking about material activities. Srimad Bhagavatam is speaking about activities beyond the body, the mind, the soul. Sorry, beyond the body, the mind. But it's not, it has nothing to do with bodily attachment, bodily sense gratification. So when Lord Chaitanya was explaining the Atmaram verse to his chief associate, he was explaining how Krishna is Purnam, he's all complete. So anything that is coming from Krishna is complete. So when we attach ourselves to Krishna, when we place ourselves at Krishna's lotus feet, we become also complete in every sense, in knowledge, in happiness, in understanding. Everything becomes complete when we approach the person Krishna. But if we approach Krishna through different energies, we won't get that completeness. Only when you approach Krishna in person do we get the complete whole. Because Krishna always remains complete, although so many emanations and parts and parcels are constantly emanating from Krishna. He never loses his individuality. So the impersonalists sometimes look upon the Atmaram verse and get an impersonal understanding of Krishna. That, okay, activities stop, so the highest thing is actually just, you know, to be on the Brahman platform. But actually, no, material activities stop. And then we go further than that, into transcendentally understanding Krishna's activities. So the note possesses tremendous qualities, and therefore we can attract anyone by his shaktis. And Krishna has different manifestations in his different energies. So by seeing how Krishna's energy is manifested in different varieties, we can understand, you know, Krishna is not ultimately impersonal. He has a variety of energy spread out everywhere. And if we study intelligently, we can see Krishna works in different varieties. Krishna is not just monotonous. Krishna works in every living entity's life. Krishna is there as a super soul. He's sanctioning and directing the different wanderings of the soul. So Lord Chaitanya in this verse, if you read about it in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, or in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, he mainly wants to make the distinction about these two different classes of transcendentalists, the personalists and the impersonalists. Right, we have those who are into worshiping the impersonal Brahman, and they're also divided in different groups. There's the very, very neophytes who don't have much understanding of what the impersonal Brahman is. Then you have those who are absorbed in that aspect on the Brahman realization. And there's five subtle distinctions between these personalities. And then the third type is those who actually realize the Brahman. So you have the neophyte, those who are absorbed in Brahman realization, and those who have realized what is Brahman. But that is not what the bhakta, or that is not what the bhakti yogi is interested in. The bhakti yogi is interested in liberation, and real liberation, not just releasing the soul from the bodily pangs. Real liberation means to actually connect ourselves as servants of Krishna. So the living entity is eternally supposed to be hearing and chanting the glories of Lord. That is the only way that we can actually be self-satisfied. Not that self-satisfaction doesn't mean that we want to enjoy by ourselves, because it's actually not possible for the jiva to enjoy by themselves. It is not possible for the jiva to fully be cognizant of his identity without connecting with his source. And the very fact that for millions and millions and millions of births we've been trying to connect with so many different things, and we still haven't perfected our misdirection. We're still misdirected. The only way we can actually be self-satisfied is to connect with our real source, and that is Krishna as a person. And Prabhupada would often say, why is that those who, he'd be asked, how is it that those who even realize the Brahman, after some time in the Vedas it says that they can't stay there forever. And why is that? And Prabhupada says, it's boring. It's boring. And boring not in the sense that, you know, there's nothing to do, you're just not active. And that is abnormal for a jiva. We understand that part and parcel of Krishna means that we actually have qualities like Krishna. So Krishna is a person. So when you're a person, you do things. You have a transcendental body that is Satchidananda. So you have to act in that capacity. If you try and numb that understanding, then actually we can get away with it for some time, but not eternally. And Prabhupada explains this. You cannot be in Brahman forever. You come down because the jiva is doing nothing, and it is a frustrating situation. So we have to establish this relationship with Krishna. We have to go and want to get our real liberation, which means connecting ourselves as servants of the person Krishna. So another great point which I found, apart from, of course, the most profound one, is how Lord Chaitanya was trying to get us to understand that the highest aspect of being self-realized, understanding that Krishna is a person and we relate to him in that way, then we become fully complete, is to also understand Krishna's greatness. Through the Siddhanta. So we have different parts of the Vedas, and sometimes people come here or people make a call and they ask if we have the Vedas. If you have the Vedas, the complete Vedas, and I said, of course we do. And they said, oh, which one can I have? All of them are like, yeah, we have different volumes, so you can buy the whole set. It's called Srimad Bhagavatam. Then they say, no. I want the Vedas. You know the Vedas, you know this part, that part. I'm like, no, but actually we have the Bhagavatam. That is the Vedas, that is the Mahapurana. So people don't have a clear understanding of the proper Siddhanta. But we can get different bits and pieces from this Purana, that Purana. And also the fact that we need help in actually understanding what this literature is saying. Therefore, we are always seeing that there's always a guru-disciple relationship going on in explaining the Bhagavatam, in explaining what self-realization is. We don't just kind of dive in and speculate about ourselves. The speculation leads us elsewhere. So there's always guidance in understanding Krishna's greatness, in understanding how potent and how powerful Krishna is. Prabhupada says it's not enough just to know that God is great. We should know how. That means we should study how He works. What his variegated energy and Him as a person as well. We should know this. And that is the only thing that will actually make us self-satisfied. Not that we become self-satisfied, we can understand Prabhu, I'm not the body, I'm the spirit soul. I have no body pangs, no hunger, thirst, lamentation, fear, illusion and madness. I am on the Brahma Buddha platform. This is it. No, Prabhupada said we should then start to know how exactly. We don't just stay at one position. We should always continue because the process of bhakti is ever increasing. Even the self-realized soul, they are for eternally hearing the narrations of the Bhagavatam. Lord Chaitanya himself would sit down and listen to Bhagavatam. When the Lord Ananta is at the bottom of the universe, and different sages and the four Kumaras go down and hear Srimad Bhagavatam. This is going on eternally. The great sages, they come down by the sacred Ganges River and hear Bhagavatam. So this is important that this Bhagavatam, the Maha Purana, it helps us understand what real self-satisfaction is. And that is always in union with Krishna. Krishna is behind everything. So we should understand exactly how that is, which means we understand Krishna's energy. We understand what is all-pervading and how it is pervading. And to what limits or to what extent is it all-pervading. So you understand the external energy, you understand the internal potency, you understand the marginal potency, and what is the relationship? What is the relationship between the jiva and the external energy? What is the relationship between the external energy and Krishna? What is the relationship between the jiva, the marginal, and Krishna? We perfect this understanding, we become self-realized. We become self-satisfied. So this is the whole point behind the Atharav verse. It's not that, oh, okay, this is how I understand that I'm self-satisfied and that's it. Prabhupada said, no, this, you go further, you have to make progress in understanding how to be self-satisfied. You have to know how great Krishna is in detail. And Srimad Bhagavatam does that by giving us all these narrations, everything from creation to protection to maintenance, the Saman Bonam. Everything is given systematically, not just Krishna's pastimes. You know, it's nice to hear, you know, Krishna swinging a ball and the Balaram was swinging, and that is great. Eventually, that is what we'll be hearing all the time as we advance. But even just understanding how Krishna creates the material energy, even for us, you know, that, well, this I know for myself. That is very difficult to understand at this point in my Krishna consciousness. But we have to keep going on because that is giving pleasure to the soul. Hearing about Krishna gives satisfaction. The only thing that will feed the soul is topics and narrations about Krishna. Whether you have no material desires, whether you are full of material desires, or whether you desire liberation, hearing about Krishna is our constant activity. That is our only medicine. So we shouldn't shy away and say, ooh, it's the Mahapurana, Srimad Bhagavatam. It is meant for the Paramahamsa personalities. I'm not a Paramahamsa, so I shouldn't hear Bhagavatam much. Or I'm too contaminated, I shouldn't hear Bhagavatam much. Or I'll purify myself first, then hear. If we do that, will never hear. It's like saying, I'll do my bhajan, my purification, I'll go to Radhakund for 25 years, and then I'll go preach. Some people say like this, they need to get purified first and then they preach. But we don't understand the potency of devotional service, that Krishna can use any insignificant person as an instrument to spread his glories and simultaneously also purify you. This is the greatness of Krishna. This is how Krishna is coordinating everything in the background. So everyone, it's not that hearing from the Vedas or hearing from the Srimad Bhagavatam or the Mahapurana is a sectarian thing. It just gives us a direct understanding of Krishna. Everyone wants to be satisfied, everyone wants to be happy. So the Brahma Sutra has been summarized very wonderfully by Vedavyasa, and as the Vedic aphorisms have been given in the beginning since time immemorial, Ahasya Brahma Jigyasa, so we have to inquire. And the Srimad Bhagavatam is non-sectarian. This is the constitutional position of every living entity, to hear about the Supreme Lord. It is everyone's right. So, because in the future, and it's happening now, Prabhupada knew that people would misinterpret the meaning of Krishna or the meaning of Brahma-Bhuta platform or self-realization. So he's given elaborate details and explanations, teaching of the acharyas to explain exactly what it means to be on the Brahma-Bhuta platform, to be on the platform of understanding Aham Brahmasmi, that I am spirit soul. So we don't want to be misdirected by so-called theologians or professors or scientists. We are always guided by the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is free from vice, which is free from fault, and the personality Bhagavat, the Bhagavat personified, those pure souls who are emanating the Bhagavatam constantly. So we hear from them and we're anxiety free. We can actually get freed from our material coverings. So to be completely Brahman realized, we have to be completely indifferent to material enjoyment. So this constant hearing of the Srimad Bhagavatam will rid us of all material enjoyment. And that is the blockage we have at this point to accessing that full storehouse of being satisfied in the self, being satisfied in connection with Krishna. The blockage is material enjoyment. So by hearing constantly the glory of the self-realized soul, explaining the Bhagavatam as Prabhupada has given examples, by hearing about Krishna's activities in self, then these material desires fly away. And we'll be directly connected with Krishna and happy. And Krishna. Any comment or question? So the Atmaram, even in Nectar of Devotion, this, as I mentioned, there's three different classes of transcendentalists. Like there's those who get happiness and satisfaction from the Brahman realization, or from the perfection of mystic yoga, or from devotional service. So Prabhupada says these are all different classes of transcendentalists who experience, who are referred to as Atmaram. But the highest, of course, we understand to be purely Atmaram, to be in direct union, in to be one with Krishna, understanding that my desire is Krishna's desire. That is when you fully scope Krishna as a whole, understanding Krishna's purna, not that he's just impersonal or he's within the heart, but he's in the heart, he's all-pervading, but he's also a person. So that is the complete picture of Krishna. So in that sense, that is the highest point of being Atmaram. The Prabhupada uses the example of the four Kumaras and Narada Muni, the four Kumaras and Sukadeva Goswami, that they had attained Brahman realization, But still, after hearing or seeing the transcendental qualities of Krishna, their self-satisfaction increased, because now they're not just on the Brahman aspect, they're understanding that there's more towards just liberation from body pain. There's more, there's Krishna the person. So we understand that that is higher. And therefore they became fully self-realized Atmanams. So inclusive, sometimes let's say someone is walking out the temple, they hear things, they see something different, they want to know what's going on. Like not for, they won't walk in and say, I want to know the three levels of self-realization and from which shastra that is coming from. They won't get into that. Inquisitive means they're just curious to know what is this. Those who are Atmananda, they are actually seeking, I want to know what the absolute truth is. They come with that understanding. They have a jnani mentality. They want to find out what is the absolute truth. Inquisitive is someone walks into the temple or urban yoga. What are you guys doing? This looks interesting. Or they see a Harinam party and they go, oh, they take a card. What is this mantra? That's being inquisitive. But when you want knowledge, it is defined. You want to know about self-realization, God, Krishna, absolute truth, Brahman, you ask. So it's more defined. Okay, thank you very much. Thank you very much.